Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through Bible doctrine, and we've been dealing now for, I believe, the fourth week with the doctrine of angels. The last 2 weeks prior to this week, we dealt with your adversary, the devil. We have a real adversary. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. He didn't say our adversary, he says your. He is specifically your adversary, the devil. So we looked at a few things about the devil and the work that he does and the, if you would, the goons that he employs to do his bidding in this world. But we also see that Christ, the reason why he was manifested was to destroy the works of the devil. And that's something to rejoice in. But the fact is, we can be tempted of the devil even though his works have been destroyed. At Calvary, the works of him that he can put man, has the power to cast man into hell, that power has been taken away from him when somebody believes and trusts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil. And in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read here verse 1 down to verse number 11. But this is real for us because there are some lessons here that we can learn about the temptation. Again, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what we wrestle against. So the battle that we all face is a spiritual battle. Can I say this? Throughout the centuries, when you see people that died because of persecution, that were burned at the stake, that were hung because of their faith in Christ, that is not the worst enemy that they faced. The worst enemy that they faced was a spiritual enemy. And again, every generation, whether persecuted or not persecuted, as our forefathers were, we all face temptation. That temptation comes from the devil. Notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil uses the Bible. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I noticed two things. In the beginning of verse 1, or at the end of verse 1, he says, notice that Jesus was, notice, led of the Spirit into the wilderness for what purpose? Notice, to be tempted of the devil. The fact is, we are going to be tempted of the devil, just as Christ was tempted of the devil. But notice at the end, verse 11, this is the good part. The Bible says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels and came and ministered unto him. So notice, he was led up of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, and then the Bible says, the devil leaveth him. There are many scriptures in the Word of God that show us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. It is possible for us to have the victory in the face of temptation. Now we're going to go into a few things, and this is more, as we deal with the doctrine of angels, this is more the practical aspect, if you would, of doctrine. Again, our theology dictates our philosophy. What we know to be true in the Word of God will dictate how we behave, how we handle our lives. And here, when we look at this temptation, we have an example of how to deal with temptation, and we're going to see that this morning. So notice, first of all, in your notes, that is Roman numeral 1. Anybody need a, before we get started, anybody need a handout? Everybody going? Anybody that needed a pen? All right. Wow, everybody is ready. Okay. Notice number 1, if you want to fill in the blank. First of all, we see the points of the devil's temptation. The points of the devil's temptation. Now I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17, the Bible shows us something that is very important when it comes to temptation. The truths in the Scriptures must be understood in our lives and applied in our lives if we are ever going to have the victory. The Bible says we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We should know how Satan works. We should know what's in the world so that we can fight that. When we are ignorant of the truth, that is when we lose every time. And we must know the enemy. So notice 1 John chapter 2, notice verse 15. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world..." Now this is important here. That gets my attention. "For all that is in the world..." Think about that. Everything in the world can be boiled down to these three points. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, notice, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice this statement here. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So how does the devil tempt us today? There are three avenues, or three points, if you would, that Satan opens all of his tempting work. All the tempting work of Satan is found in those three areas. All that is in the world. So we have to learn that. There are three avenues that the devil works as we consider all of the world. Again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So when tempted, it will be one of these three avenues. Now that's important to understand. This is all that the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 3, because there's nothing new under the sun. This is not some New Testament thing, if you would. This is something that we see right from the beginning. The points of temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are found right here in Genesis chapter number 3. Notice, let's look at the summary in verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, we see the summary of those three points, those three avenues right here where Satan is tempting Eve. Notice, first of all, in your notes, we see, number one, letter A, the lust of the flesh. The first thing the Bible tells us about Eve is, the Bible says in verse 6, when the woman, notice, saw that the tree was good for food. That was the lust of the flesh. Now you say, well, what is the lust of the flesh? Well, write this down in your notes, and you have a blank there. Notice, the lust of the flesh is a desire, notice, to have something that is outside of God's will. Right? That's in your notes, the blank there. Two words, to have. So the lust of the flesh is a desire to have something that is outside of God's will. There is nothing wrong with fruit. Would we agree with that? As a matter of fact, God had given them everything that they needed in the Garden of Eden, didn't He? There was plenty of fruit, there was plenty of food there for them to eat. Yet, what happened? They sought to have fruit that was not theirs to have. You see, the lust of the flesh is a desire, is a temptation for us to have something that is outside of God's will. It could even be a legitimate desire, like hunger. That's a legitimate desire. But it was not to be fulfilled in that way. That was not God's will. You see, the devil comes and he wants to turn our attention for us to lust or to long to have something that is not ours to have, that is not God's will for us to have. You see, the first temptation, the lust of the flesh. The second thing the Bible tells us in Genesis 3:6 is the Bible says that it was not only good for food, but it was pleasant to the eyes. So we have letter B, the lust of the eyes. Letter A, the lust of the flesh. Letter B, the lust of the eyes. What is that? That's the lust. The lust of the eyes, notice, is a desire to do something that is outside of God's will. So the lust of the flesh is a desire to have something outside of God's will. The lust of the eyes is a desire to do something outside of God's will. There is nothing wrong with beauty. There is nothing wrong with enjoying something that is beautiful to behold. Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, no doubt there was much to behold that would cause us today to be amazed at God's beauty and creation. Even today, you can just take a hike in the mountains and you look at the wonders of God's creation. Yet, what happened here? They desired to do something that was not commanded for them to do. As a matter of fact, it was commanded not to eat of that fruit. But see, the lust of the eyes, the devil comes in and seeks to turn the attention of Eve, her attention to lust and to long to do something that is outside of God's will. So the first point of temptation is the lust of the flesh, a desire to have something outside of God's will. The lust of the eyes is a desire to do something outside of God's will. But notice the third point. The Bible says the pride of life, Genesis 3:6, he says this, that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she looked at the fruit and based upon what the devil said, that is the pride of life. You see, the pride of life, that's in the blanks there, is a desire to be something or be someone outside of God's will. There is nothing wrong with seeking to improve ourselves in certain areas of life. There's nothing wrong with education. Adam and Eve were created perfect in the image of God. Yet here we see that they sought to be someone that God did not intend for them to become. They had no knowledge of good and evil. They were created perfect. We know that when they sinned, they had a knowledge of evil. So the devil came and he sought to turn their attention, their focus, their desires to be something or someone that was outside of God's will. Now, we see those things and we think, wow, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we think, well, it's all those wicked things out there. You know, adultery and fornication. No, it's much simpler than that. You see, the lust of the flesh is a desire to have something that is not God's will. The lust of the eyes is a desire to do something outside of God's will. The pride of life is a desire to be someone outside of God's will. Wow, there's a lot that fits under that, doesn't it? You see, when we understand this truth, then we can learn to get the victory over temptation. Now, victory is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus Christ was praying, the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him to teach us to pray. And Jesus gave them, if you would, a model prayer. What are some of the ingredients that ought to be found in prayer? And He says in Luke 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's part of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptations may come in many different forms. Many different forms. But it will always come from one of those directions. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all that's in the world. That's all that the world, that's all that the devil has to offer. Again, just a little distraction. If you look on the surface at these things, the great sin of Adam and Eve was not to eat a fruit. The great sin of Adam and Eve was to disobey God. And it took just a little distraction. a little temptation on the part of Eve to have something, to do something, to be someone outside of God's will. So we see, notice, the points of the devil's temptation. Number two, we see the pattern against the devil's temptation. No, Christ shows us the pattern for how to get the victory over the devil. So that should arrest our attention and say, oh, let's pay attention here. Because we can have the victory. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Victory is only found in Jesus Christ. That's the only place it is found. It is impossible for someone to have the victory that's not a born-again Christian. He cannot have victory over temptation. Again, in mind, the devil is trying to rob us away from doing what? The will of God. He will even draw our attention towards good things that are not God's will. That is the temptation. So we see the pattern against the devil. Now in Matthew chapter 4, we began there, where Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was tempted of the devil. Now notice Matthew chapter 4. The wording is very important because it helps us understand the circumstances. The Bible says, and Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In other words, Jesus Christ was not cornered by the devil. Jesus, the Bible says, was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. So notice the picture here. He was not cornered. Therefore, Christ brought Satan out. He calls Satan into the light so that we can see the confrontation between Christ and the devil. We learn from it so that we can be victorious over temptation. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 tells us, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." So the Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points. What are the all points? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not saying that Jesus Christ experienced every temptation that we experience. He didn't have the internet today. Today this is easy. In one click or a few clicks online, you can be engulfed in immorality. Now, he was not tempted in that way, but he was tempted in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, the points that he's speaking of is in all points like as we are. All that is in the world, all the points in which we are tempted, Christ was also tempted. So we see, first of all, letter A, we must establish our priority for life. Notice letter A, we must establish our priority for life. So the devil brings, or Satan brings, or Jesus Christ brings Satan into the light for us to see. You see, Jesus Christ could not sin. He is God. There is no sin in Him. This is not something to see, well, let's figure out if Jesus can sin or not. No, He can't sin. This temptation is not to see if Jesus could sin or not sin. This temptation is there for us to see that He could not sin. Because no man has ever been offered what Jesus Christ was offered. And we'll see that in the last point. But notice here, we must establish our priority. He said, notice in John chapter 8, verse 29, remember what Jesus said? And we studied the Gospel of John, but over and over again, what did He say? "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." Jesus Christ, everything that He did throughout His life was in exact accordance to the will of God. He declared plainly that He always did the Father's will. John chapter 6, verse 38. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." You see, when our desire to please the Father in all things, when that's our desire, then our behavior will reflect that desire. You see, the devil wants to turn the attention, our attention, away from God upon ourselves. Or upon something else apart from God. In other words, the devil says, don't please God, don't do God's will, please yourself. He'll never say that, but do the devil's will. The immediate context of Matthew chapter 4 in this passage is the baptism of Jesus Christ at the end of chapter 3. Upon the Lord's baptism, the voice of God came from heaven saying this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the devil doesn't like that. Because Jesus Christ, as the perfect man, came on earth and did everything in accordance to the will of God. He pleased God in every point. Therefore, the devil comes along and tempts the Lord. But before he's tempted, we understand that he has established a priority in his life. He would always do those things that please God. You see, if it is our focus and our desire to say, whatever I do in my life, I want to do all things to the glory of God. I want to do all things to please God. Then that's our perspective. You see, there's no desire in our lives to please God in all things and to do God's will in all things, the devil leaves us alone. But if there is a desire to do the will of God, if God looks down on us and says, this is a child that I am well pleased in because they do my will, all the things that they try to do is please me, then the devil comes along to tempt. Why? Why? To take our attention away from the will of God. And he brings the temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we see that we must first establish our priority for life. But number two, and we see, look in Matthew chapter 4, we must endure in the purity of God's Word. We must endure in the purity of God's words. Now let's look at the three temptations in our text here, because these are the three points in which we see all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Notice temptation number one. The lust of the flesh. The Bible says in verse 3, well, let's look at verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. Jesus is hungry. That's a natural desire. There's nothing wrong with being hungry. But notice in verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, what is taking place here? This is clearly the lust of the flesh. The devil is trying to create a desire to have something outside of God's will. There's nothing wrong with bread. There's nothing wrong with hunger. But the devil wanted Christ to satisfy a legitimate need in a way that is not in accordance to God's will. Do we understand that this morning? He tried to come alongside and offer a substitute for the will of God. Something that was not intended for him to have in such a way. You see, this shows that the devil wants Christ to satisfy a legitimate need in a way that is not according to God's will. The devil comes in an offer, a substitute with which we can be satisfied. Jesus, therefore, did battle with the devil using what? His word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just a short lesson here. This shows us the importance of knowing and studying the Scriptures. That's important. Not just for the preacher. Not just for a deacon or an assistant pastor. It is for every single person to study the Scriptures. We cannot have victory in our lives without the Word of God. That's how Christ fought the devil as he did battle with the devil over this temptation. How sad to consider today that so many that call themselves Christians today are biblically illiterate. You know, just because we can recite all the books of the Bible does not mean we have knowledge of the contents of the Word of God. Just because we come to church does not mean that we are biblically literate, although it ought to, you know, be part of that. There ought to be a learning. But sometimes there's no genuine effort to know the Scriptures. Here, he just quotes the Scriptures. You don't find really any deep conversation. There's no theological conversation. He just quotes the Word of God at what? At the lust of the flesh. You can have that. You can make stone turn into bread. You're the Son of God. You can do that. You see, how was he to get bread? Was it going to be in accordance to the will of God? Or in an illegitimate way? And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So temptation number one was the lust of the flesh, desire to have something outside of God's will. Temptation number two, verse 5, the Bible says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he saith, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Wow, the devil is spiritual. He uses the Bible. That's to me, that's impressive. The lust of the eyes. A desire to do something outside of God's will. You can do that. You see, Satan invites Christ to do something. Why not do this, Jesus? Doesn't the Bible say that if you come down, that He will give His angels a charge over thee? You know, we have to be very careful today. Much of the devil's deception appeals to us under the guise of religion. You know, when they talk about God, wow, therefore it must be good. They have the title church on their building. Therefore it must be good. They use the Bible in the service. Therefore it must be good. Be very careful. Be very careful. The devil uses the Word of God to tempt us. You know, you hear many times when you've been in a church in any amount of time, there are often times when people sin, fall in sin. You know that many times the excuses sound spiritual for people's sin? A pastor committing a sin with a secretary? Well, we met in church. While we served in the same ministry, God must have brought us together. You say, well, nobody would make that kind of excuses. Yes, they do. You see, a desire to do something outside of God's will. And then let's throw in the Bible. Doesn't the Bible say, Jesus, that if you He'll give His angels charge over thee, you can do this? But that's not God's will. Yes, God can do this. Yes, this is what the Scriptures will, but this is not the way God wants it to be done. You see, Jesus Christ simply replies and quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is not the will of God. I have no right to step outside of the will of God and to do something that is not the will of God in my life. I have no right to do that. Now, Jesus Christ always did those things that were the Father's will. And here again, He quotes the Scripture. Third temptation, the pride of life. The Bible says in verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You see here, that is the pride of life, a desire to be someone that is outside of God's will. You see, Satan invites Christ to be someone outside of God's will. The devil said, this is my world. The world follows me. You can be the king of this world if you just simply fall down and worship me. Do you see what the devil did here? The devil offered Christ a substitute in order to become the king of this world. If we read Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. It's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to be the king of this world. But you see what the devil comes in? He comes in to offer a substitute. This is my world now. This is the world that follows me. And therefore, if you simply do this, you see what he does? Offers a substitute. You can be somebody that God would be. But he's offering to do something that is not the will of God. Don't you want to be that? One day Christ will rule and reign over this world, but we see that Satan offered a shortcut. Jesus says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You see, God has an agenda for our lives, but the devil also does. We know that the devil is trying to do in our lives through the lust of the flesh, through the lust of the eyes, and through the pride of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's not be ignorant of Satan's devices today. He is going to try to lure us to turn our attention from doing the will of God and offer a substitute. By offering even legitimate desires, things that are right for us to do, but he offers it to be fulfilled in an illegitimate way. So, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour us? Well, what's the devouring? What's the devil's goal? To rob the glory from God. That's what he's been trying to do from the beginning. That's what he's still trying to do today. So you know how the devil gets the glory in our lives? By distracting us from the will of God to the will of the world, to Satan's will. And it may not even be an evil thing that we think, wow, deep in sin. No, no, no. Just distracted from the will of God. That's all the devil needs. Just a little room to come in and to destroy our lives. And may I say that our lives is destroyed if it is not doing the will of God. So we come to the last point in our notes here, and we see after those three temptations, and Jesus Christ was tempted again in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He pulls the devil into the light and says, look, this is how the devil works. You remember the garden? On all those three points, he tempted Eve and tempted Adam, and now it's the same work. See, the devil is brought to light. It says this is what he does in our life. This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to come in and offer a substitute, something that is a legitimate desire to fulfill in an illegitimate way. So we see, thirdly, the power over the devil's temptation. So what's the power? It doesn't come from us. It comes from Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him. You see, the devil left Christ because there was no room for him to work. What is the devil doing? He's lurking. For what? For any room to gain an advantage over us. Just a little crack in the door. Just a little opportunity to come in and wreak havoc, to take us away from the will of God. And so it is very important, vitally important here that we see the devil leaves him. Why? Because the devil, two things, he purposed in his mind to always do the will of God. And he sought to endure the temptation in the purity of God's Word. You see, right interpretation. The devil even quoted scriptures, but he used it to do something for himself, not for the glory of God. James chapter 4 verse 7 tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So he says, notice here, submit yourselves therefore to God. What does that mean? Do God's will. Submit to God. In other words, have in your as your goal in life, your purpose to say, I am going to always do those things that please God. And then, as you do the will of God, resist the devil. Don't turn your attention towards the things of this world, towards the lust of the flesh, towards the lust of the eyes, towards the pride of life, a desire to be somebody outside of God's will, a desire to have something outside of God's will, a desire to do something outside of God's will. Resist that as you submit to God. And you know what happens? He'll flee from you. Now, maybe you were looking for some deep truth, but it's actually pretty simple. But it is, we are so very easily distracted because Satan transforms himself into an angel of light and promotes something outside of God's will. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 tells us, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we have victory? Put on the armor of God. Do the will of God. Put on the things that God wants you to put on. He says the whole armor of God, which is the only thing that enables us to stand against the wiles of the devil. We cannot stand alone. Without Christ, we are left of ourselves in our own flesh, and we will succumb to the temptation that we have to what? Submit to God. We have to resist the devil. We have to put on the armor of God. And what will happen is he'll flee from us. Why? Because the power is found in Jesus Christ. Now some people may say this morning, well, I've done some terrible things in my life. Can I say this? Let this day begin from this day forward. And say, let me take this day for this to be a new beginning in my life. You may have failed, as we have all could attest this morning, we've all failed at some point. stepped away from doing the will of God. But it doesn't end there. You see, we can have a new beginning. You know, instead of living to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that is in the world, we can turn and submit to God. We can. May the Lord help us. Tempted of the devil. Again, the Bible tells us that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And what's the final result? The devil leaveth him. You know, when we give any room to the devil, even if it's a small room, he hangs around for a while. He parks there. Why? Because that's when he can do his work. That's when he can do his work. Let's ask the Lord to help us. You know, because perhaps the Holy Spirit spoke in your heart this morning. Many things fit under those categories. The lust of the flesh. The desire to have something outside of God's will. The lust of the eyes. The desire to do something outside of God's will. And the pride of life. The desire to be someone outside of God's will. God has wonderful things for our lives. I believe that any time any of us and any length of time have submitted ourselves to God, we saw God do wondrous things. But when the opposite is true, we can see how the devil wreaks havoc in our lives because of a simple decision that we've made. We've turned our attention and say, you know what? Let me stop pleasing God, please myself. And then when that happens, you cannot resist the devil. It's impossible. You may have the knowledge of the Scriptures, but if your desire is not to please God, all the Scriptures that you've known and you've ever known will be of no help to you. So, again, the two things in which we get the victory over the devil, as we face all points of temptation, we must establish our priority for life and we must endure in the purity of the Word of God.